He's your voice of reason in the medical world. Dr. Fred Brown from Griffin Health talks to Melissa in the morning. Now on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
It's been a week and I still can't really say this issue. Dr. Brown is back. Thank God for that. Can I just say, first of all, Dr. Brown, good on you. I think it was only hours after this news broke that Connecticut was one of the latest states to have this parasite issue connected to the foods not being washed correctly. I think we were the first to talk about it in Connecticut news. So way to go, us.
There we go. We did
right?
it.
Yeah. Well, because it's funny. The next day, you know, my team and other people were calling in and saying, you know, hey, can you please talk about this issue? Because it really became news on last Thursday morning, and it just happened to be that you were coming on, and so it worked out really nicely. But I still can't say it. I was going to say
that was my question.
Yeah.
Can you say it?
I want to say no. I get really nervous. Could you just say it really quick, and then I promise
sure.
I'll repeat it.
It's cyclospora.
I want to say cyclo. That's my issue. So it's cyclospora. Okay, I was really close.
Cyclosporiasis is the...
No, let's not go there. Let's just stick with the short
sorry.
One. Cyclospora.
Cyclospora.
Okay, well, let's give the Cliff Notes version one more time, Dr. Brown. I will say
sure.
I repeated your information from last Thursday on Monday morning because there was such an uptick in, I'd say, people inquiring about this over the weekend. And it's
absolutely.
Still obviously, I mean, we're seeing more and more of these cases popping up in Connecticut and across the country. There's a lot of fear around it. Really, at the scope of it is, please wash your vegetables and your apples. But, you know, remind people a little bit about this Cliff Notes version and what they can do to not get sick.
Absolutely. So cyclospora is a parasite. It's actually a pretty common parasite. But, you know, again, given the concentration that we potentially get, this is why we're seeing an outbreak of it. It is contaminating multiple things, usually food sources. It causes a diarrheal illness. So it's basically food poisoning. Usually no nausea and vomiting, but you can get nausea and vomiting, mostly focused on diarrhea. But it is clearly associated with, in this case, you know, fruits, vegetables. Those are the ones that it's going to get there. Anywhere where you can expect to have water that will sit there, this parasite can overgrow. And then if you consume it, then you get pretty sick from it.
Did you see, though, since you and I spoke, because that's one thing when you talk about the transport of vegetables and fruits, did you see Taco Bell had to voluntarily remove some ingredients at select restaurants because of this outbreak?
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
You're like, yeah, I could have told you. Well, okay.
I will tell you that I'm not sort of an overly cautious, you know, I am in a little bit of prevention. I will tell you that I think I was at a airport once and there was a Taco Bell or some sort of taco place, and I saw them show up and they had a big, you know, food container full of lettuce. And it was all already cut up.
And you were done. You're like, never again.
I was done. Yeah. And the problem is that there you know, may not be anything wrong with that. The problem is that when you have such a large batch of media for organisms like that, and there's so many, just imagine all the sort of nooks and crannies, it's really hard unless they wash it right before they serve it or put it on. It's really tough to say that that's not going to be contaminated with something.
So I guess this is where I would go from there. And to be totally transparent, really no hate, because I absolutely can tell you I have eaten at Taco Bell multiple times in my lifetime. In fact, most recently, probably in the
absolutely.
Last 6 months, I have to be honest. But I would think in general, I don't even think this is necessarily a fast food place. I do think it kind of calls to action if you are not the one, because you and I have talked about this before, I want to say with dressings. We've talked about with other ingredients, there is a sense of, or a lack rather, of control you have once you even go to a sit down restaurant. Now, of course, like that's why you should take those reports seriously. Like if they are up to code, if there are any health violations, like you should
right.
definitely
exactly.
be on top of that.
Exactly.
Right. So it's not to honestly say that this is just even one fast food joint or all of them. I mean, I would say to an extent, really vet where you are going out to eat in general, or don't be shocked if you will, you know, if you do get I think, sick from places.
I think you're exactly right. I think you need to, I think to my earlier point is, it was an airport taco place.
Yeah, fair.
You know, so fair. How do they have to transport to get to where they're going? So I agree, you need to be careful. But we also have had this conversation before, and I'd be amiss not to mention it. We also need to be careful because we don't want our food full of chemicals either.
True.
Exactly. I just had a roll from like 4th of July or something that's still sitting on my counter, and there's not an organism to be identified on it. I mean, that can't be great either, you know?
That's fair. Yeah, that's true. That's true. So, the thing too, Dr. Brown, it's funny because I was talking to somebody actually here at the office who said that they, you know, had stomach pains from something that they ate, you know, recently, and that actually like days later, it still bothered them. And I said, I don't know if you got diagnosed with that. That could very well be this cyclospora. How's that? I did it that time.
You did it. You got it.
All right. I said that could very well be that. But do you think there's a lot of underreporting with this?
So there is, but it's actually not a necessarily a bad thing. So there's a lot of things that, in particular, in our diet that can lead to GI upset. And there's a lot that's actually going on. So to say that it's just specifically that organism, I would still say it's pretty unusual, unless you're, unless there's some sort of food source or something that you're associated with. When we have outbreaks, it's usually when other people have the same thing. So if your entire family has it, that's one thing. But if you have sort of isolated illness, the GI illness, it's still more likely to be viral. If there's a cluster, it's still more likely to be bacterial, and we're still seeing salmonella outbreaks and food, a lot of food poisoning because it's hot. There's a lot of people come together and picnics, and that's the media that the bacteria like.
We're talking to Dr. Fred Brown of Griffin Health, our infectious disease expert on the show. And let's go to, I saw this report and I was thinking about you, Dr. Brown. Well, anytime.
Oh boy.
No. Just honestly, anytime something medical comes up, you come up in my mind first, and then my sister, who's a physical therapist, and 9 times out of 10 my sister's like, Melissa, this is so not under my realm. So then I go back to you. That's why I say that.
Great.
You know,
that's okay.
Yeah. So
whenever I think of food poisoning, I think of you. Dr.
No, that's terrible. Right? That is all right. That's fair. I kind of set you up for that. I apologize. No, not at all, Dr. Brown. Anytime I see medical, the word medical or the new reason, right? I'm always like, oh, Dr. Brown. Yeah. No, that's terrible. Oh my gosh. Every time I feel sick. No. So there was a new report saying infections may raise long-term risk for chronic disease. Was kind of Oh, you already know about this. You're like, right.
No, I know. Yeah. Go ahead. No, please. I don't mean to cut you off.
No, not at all. If you already know, let's jump right into it because I thought this was fascinating. It came out this week. The consequences of infectious diseases extend beyond the acute phase of the illness, whether it's influenza, COVID, pneumonia, other such illnesses are not only acutely dangerous, but also can cast a long shadow over somebody's health, from metabolic diseases like diabetes to increased risk of heart attacks. I just thought this was fascinating.
It really is fascinating, and it's sort of one of those key features that we have as infectious diseases. It kind of connects some of our other specialists with this. So it's interesting because they call them the cerebral specialties. It's endocrine, rheumatology, and infectious diseases. Not to say that. Anyways. but these are the ones that are connected. And it's interesting because they're connected in that aspect, but they're also connected in how we as humans interact with our surrounding. In particular, it is completely true. In fact, we will go back to, we'll go back to GI illness. There are several GI illnesses, food poisoning. So you think something you get, you have something that's contaminated, several people end up getting sick from it, you have an episode, and then it goes away. There are well documented. In fact, it's pretty much not even a literature; it's just a fact that you can develop arthritis secondary to that. It's called pseudoarthritis secondary to foodborne illness. So that being said, it is definitely true, and it's this cross between infectious diseases, our environment, and how our immune system responds to it. And I personally, and again, there's a lot of research on this and I won't touch on it, but I personally believe that it has a combination of both how the environment interacts with us and how we interact with the environment.
Mm.
That being said, we've talked about this before. We are a much higher stress society than we were when we were, you know, in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, even in the 90s, because at those times, you know what, we weren't constantly on our phones, and we weren't, there was a lot more activities that were going on.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot more ways for us to deal with stress and cortisol and other issues and food sources and whatnot. Not to say that the 80s were great, but I mean, there's a lot of different things that have actually occurred, making our lives a lot more stressful. And I think that interacts with our immune system. And that means when our immune system interacts with an external source like a bacteria or a virus, that leads to other issues. And we saw that very, very clearly in COVID-19.
Right. Well, and so it's interesting because when I first was reading this, I thought, yeah, we already knew this, because immediately I thought COVID and mm-hmm. how people had long-term brain fog. I was one of them. And I remember, so when I was first reading this, the introduction, I thought, yeah, this is not new news. But then as I was reading on to it, and it was saying a study actually showed the risk of suffering a stroke, for example, in the 4 weeks following the onset of flu is 5 times higher than in people without influenza. And I thought, holy cow. I mean, that is information to me that I think we should take into account. Now, to your point, though, Dr. Brown, how much of it do we, and I hate to make it sound like I'm victim blaming. I'm not. But how much of that do we kind of bring upon ourselves? For example, stress. For example, how we eat, what we eat. For example, how often we are moving. And I know these are very elementary things that I'm bringing up. But when I see a study like that, it's not like people never suffered strokes before and they've never had influenza before. So how in the world are you at such a higher risk now in 2026 than you were in 1996? To your point.
Right. And that's I believe that's really is the case. And I think that's where, making sure that we are eating right, exercising, are aware of sort of our surrounding and stress is going to be important. But yeah, I mean, there's definitely data, especially with influenza. So if a virus like influenza, you think you get this little virus and that's it. But your body's response to that is pretty drastic. It's really impressive if you're, if you're a pathologist, you're like, this is amazing. I mean, you literally are having fevers, right? So your body tells you, your brain, you need to increase your body temperature. I mean, think about how amazing that is in itself. But it also has to do with releasing things like interferon. Interferon is documented to cause severe depression and makes you just feel, crappy. And that's all these things that are actually on there. So you have on top of, and if already sort of stress or chronic illness on top of that, I'm not surprised about that. And it's not that new. It's just we're able to sort of drill down a little bit more now.
There was a quote in there, Dr. Brown, in this article that said, we need to rethink infectious diseases. A common denominator is, you talk about that this is not just a short-term health threat, but that you really, it does take your body to still recover, for example. And sometimes we just kind of go right back to, well, on the surface, we're in a good place. So let's go right back to working, insane hours or not really cutting back or not really kind of changing our habits at all. And we, do you agree that we need to rethink the way we look at infectious diseases?
I do, absolutely. And it's sort of, I think we coined it here. We said that, and we said this 6 years ago, the way that the world looks at infectious diseases is going to be different. And the things that I knew as sort of fact, other people are going to start realizing. We know that there's atypical bacteria that you get infected if you get infected with that bacteria, that you have an increased likelihood of having cardiac disease because of the inflammation that it causes. It's a well-known fact, and we've known that before COVID. Now everybody else is sort of like, wow, that's the case. And again, I think it comes down to, what's in our environment, how are we reacting to our environment, and how that environment is changing because we're reacting to it.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Well, Dr. Brown.
But again, it's still all good.
Right.
We don't want to end it on a negative note.
No.
It's all good.
I'm with you. No, I was going to say, no matter what makes me think of you, I'm glad that I do, and I'm glad that I have you on a weekly basis, because I think you bring a realness to the show, obviously, but it's not all doom and gloom. You know, when you look at these studies, you kind of think like, well, man, okay, so as soon as I get the flu, that means I'm at a higher risk. Well, no, there are some things actually that you could maybe change or look at differently when infectious diseases impact you or your family, and I think you provide that. So it's actually encouraging, I think empowering, quite frankly. So no, not on a...
My pleasure.
We never end on a bad note, Dr. Brown, as long as it involves
It's the middle of summer. I want everybody to be happy.
Listen.
Nobody needs to be shut in. We're all designed to deal with whatever comes our way.
No, we don't need to live in fear. We just have to be better equipped to deal with stuff. And you do that.
Absolutely.
And so, see, I appreciate you for that. All happy thoughts here, Dr. Brown. And we so are happy that you join us each and every week on the show. Thank you so much.